Y'all would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We left off last time. We touched on verse 7. I pray that the Lord's gave me a message for you today. He's gave me some comfort in it, and I hope it'll be comfort to you. But every time I listen to a message, and in that message it says something along the lines of, all believers think these things, or all believers do this, or true saints of God, true children of God, they act this way. This is what they do. I lean forward in my seat. I want to hear those things. That's something. Is that me? Am I a saint? Do I do these things? That interests me. I want to know what saints do. Those people that the Lord has saved. But with that tonight, the title of my message be the new spirit towards brethren. The new spirit that the Lord gives us and puts in our hearts. Paul lists some things here in Romans 1 that spirit does towards the brethren. And that interests me. So I hope it's a blessing to you. It is to me. But let's read through this text first and we'll go through it verse by verse. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul writes this, says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I want us to look at who Paul is writing to. There in verse 7, Romans 1, 7 says, to all that be in Rome. The all there means every believer that's in Rome. Obviously, Paul didn't mean every person in Rome. He was writing to that group of believers there, that church. I mean, by all, he means all of them. The rich ones, the poor ones, the wise ones, the unwise. It didn't matter, educated, uneducated. Our Lord is not a respecter of persons, and we shouldn't be either. We shouldn't put weight or honor into the things of this world that men have, the position that the Lord put people in the world. But he writes there to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. He's writing to people that are loved of God before. Loved before the world was. Loved in Christ, given to Christ. Those that are beloved. Those that the Lord loves, he calls. They're called to be saints. He writes that in 1 Corinthians, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. And there's two B there in 1 Corinthians and here in Romans 1, 7. Two B is italicized. That means the translators put that in there so it'll read a little smoother, but you can remove that. So anytime you see that italicized text in the scriptures, read it the way it lays and then read it without that. Read it both ways. And so there in 1 Corinthians, it would be to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called saints. So Paul says here, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. That's what saints are. We are called to be saints, called saints. Robert Hawker wrote this, they are not born saints, but are newborn saints. No person's a born saint, but the Lord puts a new life in us, doesn't He? Makes us saints, makes us sanctified. These are the people that are truly sanctified, set apart, made holy. That's what the word means. Many pulpits nowadays, unfortunately, have this horribly, horribly wrong. Men and women have no hand in making themselves holy. We don't contribute anything to our salvation, to our justification, our sanctification, anything. We don't have a hand of that. The Lord makes us that way. God's saints are holy because of Christ in them. So it's hard to get more holy than Christ. If Christ is in you, how could you make yourself more holy than God? Hebrews 10:10, Hebrew writer puts, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified. We are made holy. But Paul writes to men and women that have been, they are, and shall be loved of God through Christ. They're made holy through Christ's finished work. That's who he's writing to. And he says, grace and peace to you. We looked at this last time briefly. But if the Lord is gracious to men and women, there will be peace. He's through Christ has been gracious to us, gives us something we don't deserve, gives us life in Christ. We will have peace if we look to Him. And he prays that they have grace from God and peace in Christ. So the first thing a new spirit has, a new man, a new woman in us, that new life that's born again, first thing it has towards its brethren is a spirit of thanksgiving. Look there in Romans 1 verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. First off, Paul thanks God, the object of our thanks. He's the source of all things, isn't he? James wrote, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the fathers of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We know that all things come from our Father in heaven. And so that's who Paul is thanking. Secondly, Paul is thankful to God through Christ. There's no approaching God in any way. God the Father, we can't approach Him unless we go through His Son. Through Christ is the only way to the Father, isn't it? Christ told us himself, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Paul thanks God the Father through Christ. And he's thankful when our brethren are faithful. When the Lord does a work in people, they are not ashamed to declare who Christ is, who they are, and the work that's been completed for them. Look there in verse 16. Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If the Lord makes someone a saint, if He sanctifies them, makes them holy, gives them life, they're not ashamed. They're grateful, aren't they? They're thankful. And for those people that are made saints the same way they are, that new life in them, they're thankful for those brethren. Paul's thankful for his brethren. So, this new spirit is thankful to God for our brethren and for the work that He causes them to do, for them to be faithful. And that new spirit prays for the brethren. There in verse 9 it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul had not yet met those saints in Rome that he wrote this letter to, but he had heard how faithful they were. And he prayed for them. I told y'all the first time I came here that other congregations I'd spoke with, they prayed for this congregation. They had heard how the Lord had made you faithful and kept you. And they prayed for you. That's just natural, isn't it? We pray for other congregations. Congregation down in Australia right now with those wildfires. Never met them. We've corresponded with them some, but we've Brother Angus has come here, preached for us, but we don't know those brethren, but we pray for them. They're always in our prayers. But that was the heart that Paul had towards these brethren, and that's the heart that that new spirit in men and women. They give thanks for the brethren and they pray for the brethren. Samuel wrote, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Do not pray for our brethren is to sin against God. Ephesians 6 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We pray for all saints' supplication. They're provided for and their perseverance. The Lord keeps them forever. Paul went on to write right after that, "And for me," he said, "pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I pray for you all. I pray that the Lord blesses you and keeps you and is gracious to you, gives you peace. And I hope that you pray for me. Lord, give me utterance. Give me a message for you. When we pray for one another, we pray for ourselves, don't we? If you all ask the Lord to give me a message for you, that's praying for you. You pray that He keeps me, that's for you. If I pray for you, that's praying for me. It's the same spirit in us. All right, what else does that new spirit do? It desires to be with other believers. We want to fellowship with God's saints. We don't have a... The Lord said He's put the world in our hearts, and that's needed in part. There in Ecclesiastes, I've put the world in your heart. We have to have a desire to take care of our families, to do the work that the Lord's given us in our hand. I have children and a wife I got to feed. The Lord's given them to me. That's my responsibility. And so I have to go out and make a living and earn a keep for them. And it's good that we have those things. We care about our responsibilities. But our fellowship's not in this world. We're sojourners. We're passing through. It's a temporary thing. I have relationships. I get along with people. My old job and stuff, that was fine. I'd kind of prefer to be around ones than the others. But there's no fellowship there. There's no love, no lasting bond, because I don't have something in common with them. They don't have the same God I have. I have another one. Paul says there in Romans chapter 1, verse 10, making requests, and he's praying to the Lord, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Anytime that we have the opportunity to visit with the Lord's saints, it's a good opportunity. And we desire those things. That new spirit wants to be around other new spirits. We have the same God. That new man in them has the same spirit that's given to all of God's elect. We are like-minded. We are of one accord, as the scriptures say. And that's a great blessing. If the Lord allows, next Thursday I'll be going to flying up to Sacramento, going to the Church there and Rescue. I'll preach for them Friday night, Saturday morning. Then after services Saturday morning, I'll come back here and be here for Sunday services. But I'm looking forward to that. I spoke to their pastor on the phone some. I've never met him in person. And I enjoy speaking with him. I enjoy that fellowship we have. And I look forward to meeting those saints there. 22 years ago, my mom and dad drove all the lower 48 states, 49, they went to Alaska. And they went to California and they met Brother Gene Harmon then, the pastor and the saints there. And they told me what a good time they had. And for 22 years, I've wanted to go to Rescue. And I get to. And it's good. It's good to be around brethren. It's just like siblings being around each other. Take a whole group of kids and my children will go play with them, but they huddle back up together. They get together quick because they have the same parents, don't they? We have the same father. But that's what Paul is. He had prayed there that he was able to come to Rome to visit those people. He'd asked for a long time. So that new spirit that's thankful for our brethren, prays for our brethren, desires to be with those brethren, desires to be around other believers. It also wants brethren to be encouraged and to be settled. In verse 11, Paul writes, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established." Look down at verse 13. These two go well together. Romans 1:13. "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto." That's saying that many times he's planned on going to Rome, but either always through the Lord's providence, he wasn't able to, but either the Lord had him for another purpose, or he allowed, twice it's recorded, allowed Satan to interfere and set stumbling stones for him. He wasn't able to go for that. But he says that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. So what are these spiritual gifts Paul wants to impart to these believers? What's this? These fruits? Well, the fruits of faithfully preaching the gospel are threefold. If a congregation gathers together and the Lord gives one of them, it doesn't matter which one, I can attest to that. If this sinner stands up here, if the Lord makes me faithful, and the truth of Christ is faithfully preached, three things will happen. One, sinners that don't yet know the Redeemer that are His, they hear the truth of Christ and are drawn to Him. They're regenerated. The Lord will save men and women through the preaching of the gospel. That's the only way He saves men and women, is through the preaching of the gospel. But the sinners will hear this good news and they'll rejoice in it. It's what we call they're being saved. Number two, those that know Christ, those that have heard this good news, they're going to be established. They're going to be settled in Christ. They're going to calm down. They'll be comforted, and they'll relax, and they'll be established. They'll settle. They'll be grounded in Christ. Number three, those that are well established in Christ, those that know Him, and they love Him, and they trust Him for everything, and they've been settled, then they'll grow in grace. They'll grow in faith. They'll grow in works of love. They'll grow in spiritual maturity and in patience. So the Lord saves those people through the preaching of the gospel. He comforts them. He calms them down. He settles them. And once He settles them, then He grows them. He grows them in grace. Grows them in knowledge of Christ. So then once those happen, what happens then? Look back up in verse 12. That new spirit in us, towards our brethren, it wants to be comforted with brethren. We're comforted the same way, aren't we? Romans 1:12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul the Apostle, great Paul, he is comforted by those saints in Rome. If the Lord allowed Paul to come here tonight, I would expect to be comforted. Would you? I would go to Paul and I would want Paul to preach to me. Paul to tell me what he's seen and what he's happened and to witness to me. And that would be my comfort. But if the Lord allowed that to happen, Paul would be comforted through that. Paul was comforted by those saints in Rome he'd never met. When I preach and someone's blessed by a message, and normally it's a part that I wouldn't imagine, it's something I say in passing or something I work real hard on, nobody says anything, and I'll mention a little side note, and somebody says, oh, that's exactly what I needed. So that keeps me humble and thankful. But if someone's blessed by my message, I'm comforted by that. I'm thankful to see what the Lord's done, and that it's not of me, it's of Him. I'm comforted greatly to visit with brethren and to share their sorrows, to mourn with them, to weep with them. My Savior wept. He wept with Mary and them at Lazarus' tomb, didn't he? It's a comfort to me to weep with them, to mourn with them. And it's a comfort for me to rejoice with brethren for getting married or having babies or get a new job, anything. Oh, we get to sit and talk about our Redeemer, what Christ did for us. Look at His providence. That's comforting, isn't it? I'm comforted whenever I'm used to have a fellow believer that's troubled and feels helpless and hopeless, and I can turn them to Christ and remind them what I need reminded of so often, to look to Him. That comforts me. And it comforts me to know that the Lord's one that makes it effectual. But we're comforted together. The Lord congregates people. He gathers us, and He uses one brethren and another brethren different times, one's strengths and one weaknesses, one to comfort another. That's how we're comforted. I'm comforted when that mutual faith is given to another saint and myself, the faith of Christ. Two people of one accord, one mind, one heart. I'm comforted to see that the Lord accomplishes the salvation of His elect. He's the only one that can. Henry told his granddaughter's, Gabe Stoniker's Henry's granddaughter's husband. Anyway, I tried to say it out loud and it didn't work. But anyway, Gabe Stoniker was talking to Henry, and he was saying he had been so excited to see the Lord working in the 1950s and the 1960s, and that what we would call revival. The Lord gave the gospel to that part of the country, and they got to travel, and Don and Henry got to go around. And Gabe said, "Oh, what I'd love to see that." And I'd say the same thing. I'd love to see it too. And Henry said, "Son," he goes, our God's not out of business. He's effectually doing that right now. Nothing's changed. But when we live through things, we don't feel that way, do we? When we look back on things, we say, oh, what great things the Lord's done. But today, I was just burdened by, I had some phone calls I had to make and get these books organized and do some cleaning. And, oh, how am I going to get through today? And then tomorrow will be something else. I'll be tied up and worried for nothing. But anyway, our God's accomplishing His will and His purpose every day, every second of every day. And that's comforting. That new man in me is comforted by knowing that. So the new spirit in men and women, it esteems other brethren higher than themselves. Paul writes there in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now there's a whole message here, probably a couple, but I want to keep to our points tonight, what that new spirit does. But just to touch on that, we are all debtors, aren't we? Christ paid a debt I could not pay and that He did not owe. Christ paid a debt that I could not pay and that He did not owe. He was merciful to me. He loved me when I hated Him. It's a debt of love. Isaac Watts wrote this, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. That's all I can offer, is myself fully to the Lord, to the service of the Lord. Believers are not their own. They are bought with a price. With that knowledge, we have a desire to serve our Lord in any capacity that we can. And that means serving our brethren too. We see Christ in them. We want to serve. If we want to serve Christ, how much more can we serve Christ in our brethren? Here, something, an opportunity. That's what we looked at there in Ecclesiastes. We have opportunities here we'll not have in glory. We can wipe away tears here. There'll be no tears in glory. We can tell sinners who've never heard of Christ and spread the gospel and promote the gospel to them. In glory, they'll all know the Lord, be taught of Him. The Lord's gave us those blessings here. We see that they too, our other brethren, are ones beloved of God. And it doesn't matter if they're Greeks, it's the educated that Paul's speaking of, or the barbarians, the uneducated, rich or poor, wise or unwise, if they're babes in Christ or if they're strong in the faith, makes no matter. We see them as much more valuable than ourselves. And we are debtors to them also. Henry brought this point out. We're debtors to the Lord that we can never repay, a debt of love. We're debtors to our brethren and to other men and women in this world to give them. We've been given this gospel. We're debtors to them to share that gospel with them. And we're debtors to these children. We'll have a church established here. If the Lord put a light in this area, what kind of gospel are we going to hand down to these children? Are we going to sacrifice and have a weak gospel and a weak God that we proclaim to them? Or are we going to have some grit and stand up for the Christ of this Bible, the God of this Bible, and hand that to those children? And then the Lord will raise them up, and He'll use them to preserve it as well, won't He? We're debtors. We have a desire to spread this gospel. And Paul said, I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He wants to know nothing but the Scriptures among you, concerning Christ among you, and Christ in you. And that desire, it makes us ready. So he writes there in verse 15, that new spirit that's inside of every true believer, every sanctified, called, elect child of God is ready. Romans 1:15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Preaching was Paul's calling. He was an apostle. I hope I'm called to preach. It's my job to study and stand up here and preach the gospel and tell sinners who Christ is. But that new spirit in a saint is ready to serve the Lord in any area that they're given. For some, that's to preach. Others, that's to clean the church building. And some, to hand out bulletins or to pray for other believers, to show up services, be an encouragement to someone younger in faith, to anything. Take the trash out. Be a good example to weak believers. But whatever the Lord puts in our hand, we're ready to do it. Our mercy debtors are amply motivated. Why is that? Paul says back in verse 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. The new man in us serves in spirit in the gospel, the good news of Christ. What a better place that we could be in to serve Christ, to serve this gospel. And the Lord gives us that spirit to do it in. That's all we can. But through these things, I hope that the Lord will comfort his sheep. He'll give us a heart to be thankful for our brethren, pray for our brethren, be debtors to our brethren. And every time I read through these things, I think, that ain't me. I'm not thankful for my brethren, and I don't pray for them as I ought. I don't love them as I ought. I don't want to be with them as much as I ought to want to be with them. And oh, I'm so weak and frail, and I'm the least of the brethren. I'll tell you that right now. But what did our Lord say? So you've done all these things for me. And they'll say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you thirsty? I didn't do that. You did. He said, if you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it to me, haven't you? We are the least. I pray that the Lord gives us a heart to serve our brethren, esteem them higher than ourselves. And in doing so, we spread that gospel and we gain more brethren. The Lord adds to his church daily as he sees fit. And so as we tell others this good news, what Christ has done for us, we'll have some more brethren. That makes me excited. That makes me want to go tell people. You might be my brother. Come here, let me talk to you. Anyway, I pray the Lord will keep us and keep us looking to him and keep us appreciative of the spirit that he's put in us. But let's pray together. Father, when we approach you through your Son, we ask you, forgive us. Forgive our sins. Forgive what we are. We're so unable and so ill-equipped, Lord. We can't approach you. And how grateful we are for your Son. Don't look at us, Lord. Look only at Christ. And allow us to see Christ only in our brethren. Allow us to remember that each of your elect is one that you purchased with a price. The blood of Christ has bought them. And they're precious to you and they're precious to us, Lord. We love the one that's begotten and those that are begotten of him. Keep us in memory of that. Keep our hearts pointed towards Christ this week as these people go to their jobs and go into the world. And keep us always until we can meet again and come into this house and gather in Christ's name and worship him. Pray for your saints everywhere, Lord, as you promised, keep them and uplift them and grow them in grace. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.